We're going to learn Daf Mem Hei, Masechtas Ksubas. We're going to start from the third to last line on the bottom of Men Dalet Amud Beis. That's the beginning, so to speak, of the sugya. I mean, we're in the middle of the sugya, but this is the beginning of the point that the Gemara is trying to make now. Tani Shiloh. Okay, so the good portion of today's Daf, we're going to be discussing Shiloh's halachos. Whether we agree or disagree with Shiloh's. Shiloh is, no, a Tana. Shiloh is a Tana. Tani Shiloh. Shiloh is a Tana.
We thought Shiloh was a Mara quoting a
Bryce. Shalosh Midos B'Naira. There are three types of Naira. Now, obviously, there's a lot about a Naira, but specifically, that's being accused of not being a Basula. There is Bolo Eidem Bebeis Chameha Shazinsa Bebeis Aviha. That the Eidem first show up when she's already in her father-in-law's house. That she was mezana in her while she was in her father's house. That means before they got married. So Beis Chamiya, so the Mefarshim, as Rashi is Medayik, that if we're talking about she's already in her father-in-law's house, that means she's married. So they're only first showing up now that she's married about a znus that she did while she was still in her father's house. And again, if it's relevant, it has to be that she was while she was engaged, because if it happened before she was engaged, it's not relevant, at least for this sugya. It might be relevant to how much she collects in her ksuba or whatever, but in terms of whether the punishable offense, it has to be that she was already engaged. Okay, so that's the first case, and the Gemara now, we're going to go to the top of Mem Hei Amud Aleph, says the halacha is, Seiklin Oysa Pesach Beis Aviha, that we give her, first of all, we give her skila, and that's the case that the Torah says that they give her the skila by Beis Aviha. Kloimar, very interesting, the Gemara says, that why do we do it dafka by the Beis Aviha? Ro Gidulam Gidulim Shegidaltim. So we want people to say, this is what came out of this house. Okay, that this house created this nevola, so we do a bedafka over there so that people should know. Okay, so the first thing halacha that you need to know is that if the Eidim only showed up after she got married about what happened while she was engaged, and remember, this is Eidim. Now, this is also another point that gets confusing later in the Gemara, so I'm going to highlight this now. We're talking about over here the cases that Eidim showed up. The reason and the way we know about the problem is because Eidim are showing up. It's not because the Baal himself, it's not because the husband himself made the taina, which is, again, this is a point that gets very confusing later in the Gemara, so I'm just highlighting it now. It's that the way we know about this, the way Bezdin knows about this, is because Eidim are telling us the story. Okay? So now, fine, so then this is the classic halacha, or the classic din in the parsha, that therefore we give her skila. Next halacha is Bola Eidim Bebeis Aviha Shazinsa Bebeis Aviha. Now the next halacha is that they're first coming while she's still in her father's house. She's not yet married. She's still engaged. But they, of course, are talking about an incident that happened while she was engaged. There also, Soiklin Oysa Bezach Shar Ha'ir. So there, we are going to, again, give her skila. That's also an important fact, that it's skila, because she is a Naira Mu'urasa, so the punishment of skila still applies. But in that case, you don't do it by the father's house, because she's still in the father's house, so we do the punishment, we carry out the punishment, Pesach Shar Ha'ir. The third halacha is, Sorcha Ulub Saif Bagra, if she did whatever she did, and then eventually she became a Baigeris before she got married, and then we find out about it, Tidoin Bechenek. Then she gets Chenek. Okay, so now, just so that you know, again, so that we understand and appreciate what the Gemara is coming to tell us, the regular halacha is for a married woman, who is mezana, the halacha is that she would get chenek. It's only because the novel idea that Sheila is pointing out over here is that if it's a naira murasa that did the act, so then it switches to chenek. Excuse me, then switches to skila. Even though, again, the normal, the classic punishment would be chenek. But because she was a Nair Marasa, the Torah elevates it to a din of Skila. That's Shiloh's three statements. So the Gemara continues. Rememra, the Kol Hecha, the Ishtani Gufa, Ishtani Katala. So we're focused really, the Gemara is going to focus on the last case, because the last case is what is the nuance, is the change. Because what happened was in the last case that she became a Bagaris. And therefore, all of a sudden, now that she's a Bagaris, it changes the halacha. So the Gemara wants to know, what about that change is the rule? What's the rule over here? Again, I know the halacha is, we're not arguing on what Shiloh says. The halacha is that if she becomes a begaris, that she has a different, she gets a different punishment. The question is why? What exactly, what's the key over here? What's the general rule that changed that therefore deserves a different punishment? Okay, fine, but right now. So you're telling me that if her body changed, again, going from a naira to begaris, so therefore that means that she gets a different punishment. Essentially what the Gemara is saying is, if you want to look at it a different way, is that the psukim say you get skilo. So the fact that you're changing from what the psukim say, there has to be something that shows you that there's something about her that is so different, that's so different than the parsha. She's a different type of girl than the parsha is discussing, and that's why we're going to give her a different punishment. Because if she was the same type, if she was that girl that the Torah was talking about, then we know what the punishment is. So the fact that you're giving her a different punishment shows that this is not what the parsha was talking about. So what changed? So we're saying, oh, must be, at least at this point to the Gemara, it's because her ishtani gufa, she's a different girl. Her body changed, and she's a different type of person, and therefore it deserves a different type of punishment. However, v'ray minhi, I'll ask you a contradiction. Nairo Murasa Shazinsa. Now let's say she did she was the classic Naira Murasa, she was engaged as a Naira, and she was Mizana. Umisha Bagra Hisiola Shem Ra. And then once she became a Baigeris, the husband was Moitzi Shemra on her. Okay. Who ain't a loike? And the halacha is, if it turns out that he was really telling a falsity, it wasn't really true, he just started this rumor but wasn't true, he doesn't get malchus for that. And he doesn't have to pay the 100 seller because she's no longer a, now, because he only started the rumor once she became a bageris. Okay. He gets off, right, scot-free, because the parsha of Moitzi Shemra doesn't apply. Basically, that's what we're saying. Once she became a begaris, she is no longer the parsha that's written in the Torah with the very specific rules of a Moitzi Shemra are, as I said, very specific, very unique to a Naira Murasa. She's not a Naira Murasa anymore, at least at this stage in her life, she's no longer a Naira Murasa. So then he doesn't get those punishments either. However, on the flip side, right, depends when they get married. Correct. Well, I don't know if he's dafka waiting, but if he waited, that's what happens. That part of the Braisa was talking about what the husband's punishment is. On the girl side, he v'zaymemeha makdim lebeis haskilo. So she and the Edom Zaymimim, if it turns out to be false, go to the Beis Haskila. So first the Gemara has the technical question and the way this is written. He viz Zaymimim el sakadaitach. Is it possible that both she and the Zaymimim are punished? Why would you punish both the innocent party and the Edom that are lying? It's one or the other. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elo oihi oi Zaymimim makdim the Beis Haskila. So we say that either she, if it turns out to be true, will go to get Skila, or if it turns out not to be true and we have Edom Zaymimim, and then the Edom Zaymim get that punishment, they get skila. But the focus is on the fact that we still say we're getting skila. We've established that the case is that the husband is only being Moitzi Shemra while she's still a begaris. And the obvious point proof to that is because we say the husband doesn't get the punishments because she's already a different girl. But even so, when it comes to giving her, meting out the punishment that she deserves, we still give her the same punishment and we give her the skila. So that's inconsistent with what Sheila just said. Because what Sheila, according to the way we understood the point that Sheila was making, that when she changes her body, we change the punishment. Here we see that even though we are clearly talking about a begaris, because for the husband's sake she's a begaris, but she's still getting skila. So, but why don't we say that she changed her body, so she should change the punishment? So, the Gemara says, remember, now this is where it gets confusing, because until now we were talking about a case, Sheila's case was talking about Edim. This Braisa that we're quoting is talking about Moitzi Shemra. So it's not really the same case. And that's what Rava says. Amar Rava! So Rava's answer is, Moitzi Shemra Kamris, you're trying to bring me a raya from a case of Moitzi Shemra where again it's the husband who's bringing the accusation. Shani Moitzi Shemra Mitzvah Shemar itself is different to Chiddush Hu. The whole concept and the way we're punishing over here in itself is unique, and therefore does not, you can't bring that as a riot to something else. Why? If you have a regular case where he married the girl and they had not yet lived together, vizinsa, and if she now is mezana after they got married, in other words, they had a chuppah, but the husband and wife had not yet been together, there the halacha is bechenek. The halacha is she gets punished bechenek, which is again the regular case of eishes ish. The ilu moitzi shemra, but if the husband, now that's if we, again, if we had Edim that came and told us that she did what she did, the punishment she would get is chenek. The ilu moitzi shemra, but if the husband is the one who complains, beskilo. And still we see the halacha is beskilo. So what we see over here is, in the way Rashi's masbir, is that we see that there's a unique halacha by moitzi shemra that the punishment is going to be skilo, even if it doesn't really fit the normal procession, the normal what we would naturally think the punishment would be. Because, again, we proved from the first halacha that if someone else were to be with her, even if she's still a basula, by the way, that's the reason why we give that weird case, that she went to chuppah but she hadn't yet been with her husband. So she's still a basula because she hadn't been with her husband yet, and she's mezana after the chuppah. The halacha is she gets chenek. So that becomes, so to speak, the established classic punishment is chenek. And now all of a sudden, if the same scenario happens, but the only nuanced difference is that the husband is the one who's complaining, now all of a sudden she gets skilo. It changes that she gets skilo. Why should that change? So what do we see? We see that Maitzi Shemra has its own set of rules. So same thing over here also, that even though what was your problem? Your problem was, you just said, according to Shila, that when she becomes a Begaris, it does change the punishment, and comes along this Brisa and says, no, that if the husband is Maitzi Shemra, even though she's a Begaris, the halacha is still she gets Skila. I don't understand. That's confusing. I thought you just said that when she changes, if she becomes a Begaris, she doesn't get Skila anymore. So the answer is, yes. The second Bryce is talking about Maitzi Shemra. And over there by Maitzi Shemra, it is true that if the husband complains, she always gets skilo, no matter what. No matter what stage she's up to. Again, assuming that it was, that she was a Naira, but she'll always get skilo. Sheila's Bryce is talking about where it wasn't the husband complaining, it was the Edim. And therefore, the Edim and a Hanami, for the Edim's sake, it makes a difference whether she's a Begaris or whether she's a Naira. So now that we just said, according to Rava, that it's a chiddush. Amalei Rav Huna bereid Rav Yeshua leRava. So now Rav Huna says to Rava, Dilma ki chodesh rachmana. Maybe when the Torah said this special chiddush is hecha deloy yishtani gufo. Maybe even so, where this halacha is that by Moitzi Shemra automatically there's a din of skila, is only talking about where this all happened while she was still a naira. Maybe that's not where the Torah said the halacha. Okay, so you're right that it's true this chiddush is a fact. This chiddush is true that she's not getting the, so to speak, the natural punishment. If she did this on her own, the punishment would be chenek. But even so, when the husband complains about it, it's skilo. But maybe that's only talking about while she is still a naira. How do you know that whole unique chiddush that you said is talking about even if she also changed as a Begaris? So therefore, you can't prove to me that the change of Begaris or the other way around. Maybe Sheila's halacha is still true that when she turns into a Begaris, and a Hanami, always it changes from Skila to Chenek. Maybe Sheila's halacha, that rule of Sheila is true, that any time she changes to a Begaris, it also changes the punishment. So therefore, the Gemara says, you're right, we can't bring a Raya from the Maitzi Shemra, which is very similar, so it seemed to be a good Raya, but rather we're going to bring a Raya from a whole new halacha. Ela Omer of Nachman by Yitzchak, Ishtani velo Ishtani Tanoyi. This idea, this notion that when her body changes, or that her status changes, when her status changes, that it therefore changes the type of punishment that she deserves, is we have this concept in a different halacha. The Tanan, we learned the halacha is like this. Chatoi acheloi nismanoi. Let's say the person, this is talking again, it's a totally different halacha. They did an aveira, whatever the aveira is, and normally Normally, not a Kohen Gadol, a Nasi or a Mashuach. A Mashuach is a Kohen Gadol, right? So they did an Avera. Now, if they did the Avera while they were a regular person who does an Avera and has to bring a Korban Chatas brings a Seira. It's a special. You bring a Seira, a Nasi, and a Kohen and a Mashuach. They each bring a unique. Nasi brings a soir, and the Mashuach brings a par. They bring a different type. Again, a regular person. Again, just to repeat, a regular person brings a seira, a female goat, and the Nasi brings a soir, is a male goat, and the Mashuach brings a par, which is not even a goat, which is an ox. Yes, Seira is a female.
So he would, Sayer is regular, and Seira would be a Nasi.
The opposite way. The Seira is a regular. A regular person brings a Seira. An average run-of-the-mill, average guy, us, we bring, if a person does an Avera, they bring a Seira. A Nasi all of a sudden changes the type of animal that they bring. It's a different type of carbon. Okay, so now let's read the words of the Gemara. Now that we understand that there's a different type of carbon for each level, each type of person. However, what happens if the chait and the bringing of the carbon happened in two different eras? It's not. Chotoy ad shaloi nismanu. They did the Avera before they were appointed. So they did the Avera as, so to speak, a regular person. Vinismanu. And then they became anointed or appointed to their job, and they now are a different status. Harehein ked yoitos. So the Tanakama Shita is that they are like a hedjot, because since they did the Avera as a regular person, that's the type of kapara that they need, and they bring a korban like they were a regular person, even though at the moment, right now, they are at a different level of different status. Reb Shimon says no. If they knew about the Aver, they didn't have a chance to bring the carbon yet, but they knew about the Aver, then Chayovin. Then they are Chayev to bring the regular carbon that they do, because that's then the Chiyav of the carbon already kicked in. What happens later is irrelevant. They already have that Chiyav of that type of carbon. Mission is Manu Pturim. But once they were appointed to their new job, and that's when they first found out about what they did wrong, then they are Potter Legamri. Okay, this is a very interesting Kiddush. According to Reb Shimon, you'd be Potter Legamri, because according to Reb Shimon, you're kind of stuck between two places. You can no longer bring the old carbon because you're not that old person anymore. And you can't bring the new carbon because you didn't do the Avera as that type of person, right? Let's say you became a Nasi. So the Nasi, a Nasi can't bring a regular Seira, but he didn't do an Avera as a Nasi, so he can't bring the Sawyer either. He can't bring either carbon. So according to Reb Shimon, he'd be Potter from bringing either carbon. Now again, if he knew about the Avera beforehand, and he already knew that he had to bring a Seira, so then it's just a question of getting around to bringing the carbon. So he'll bring the carbon because he already has the Chiyah. But if he only found out about it after he became the Nasi, so now he's stuck. He can't bring the old carbon because he's not that old person anymore. He can't bring the new carbon because he didn't do the Avera as the new person. So that's Reb Shimon Shita, very interesting Shita, that you're going to be Potter. Anyway, but what we see from over here is that we see this Shita is that once you're Ishtani, we see that since he became a different status, he brings a different carbon. Okay? So we see, so it seems to be a machlek, because according to the Tanakama Shita, they nothing changed. You still bring the old carbon. So we see that according to the Tanakama Shita, the fact that they changed in who they are, that does not change the halacha. Since the incident occurred while they were X, they were that type of person, and it doesn't matter, regardless of what happens later in the future, it doesn't matter. The Avera, the punishment and the repercussion of that already is in effect. It doesn't matter what happens later in the person's life. So that would be similar to this girl. She was Mezanabayan as a Nair Murasa. The fact that she became a Bageris, the fact that she got married later, should not change anything, because already the Aveira already and the punishment already was established. Whereas according to Reb Shimon, it says, no, we do look at where they are now. Things changed. However, okay, so that takes us to the bottom of Memhamed Alf. Now, but the Gemara Memheim Abayis on the top. So the Gemara says like this: Eim de Shamin and Leila Reb Shimon de Azul Basar Yedia. But what do we see? So actually, the Gemara says what we see according to Reb Shimon. We see that the Azul Basar Yedia, When do we, that he looks at Rav Shimon, says it depends on when you found out. Because remember, Rav Shimon had two parts to it. He says, if I found out already while I was still a hedjoit, then I'm already chayev as a hedjoit. It doesn't matter what happens later. But if I found out later, then all of a sudden I get into this problem that I'm potter. Okay, so let's read the words of the Gemara. When did Rav Shimon said his halacha, that it depends on when you know about it. The ozel basar yediya, veloy basar, v'loy basar cheta. Mishamislay, right? V'loy ozel basar cheta mishamislay. Do we know that according to Rav Shimon, do we not take into account when he did the aveiro? So it's, in other words, you need, we do, in other words, according to Rav Shimon, says that it's because he knew about, he did the Aveira and knew about it in the same tkufa, in the same status. And that's why he became Chayev HaKarbon. But the moment the status changes, So the moment the status changes, then we don't look at when, we don't put the idea and the carbon and the chait in the same category. So it becomes a new category. If so, imkain lacy carbon ki dahashto. In other words, if Reb Shimon says that it matters when you found out about it, so if you find out about it when he's already a nasi, so then that should, according to this logic, everything should go bust to the nasi, when he found out about it. If when he found out about it makes the difference, so then if he only found out about it when he's a nasi, and a nasi that knows this information has a certain type of carbon, so he should be chayev the carbon that a nasi is chayev to bring. Why does Reb Shimon say that you are potter? Meshuach par v'nasi soyer, right? That the Gemara just finishes the sentence. He should bring the carbon that he knows about now. Again, according to Reb Shimon, what makes a difference is when he found out about it. So if when he found out about it is the key factor, so now that he found out about it after he became a nasi, it's not really relevant. Yes, he did an avera, but it doesn't matter when he did the avera. He should have to bring the carbon when he found out now. So the Gemara says, "Ha'omar le Rabbi Yochanan latana tana tidoin biskilo." So we say over here that Rabbi Yochanan says that you're going to get skilo. In other words, he's saying like this: that you get. So we see that according to Reb Shimon, that if you look at when you found out about it. Hold on one second. So what happens is as follows. So we see that according to Reb Shimon, even in Reb Shimon, when he changes, he says that it depends on when you found out. So, but we say that according to Reb Shimon, if he found, it should be that when you find out when you're already a Nasi, then you should in fact bring the carbon of the Nasi. So that should change everything. So Reb Shimon's halacha, right, Reb Shimon's halacha is a little bit unique. We see that according to Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon Lemaisa says that you're potter. But according to the logic, Reb Shimon says, according to the logic, if I only found out about it when he became the Nasi, technically you should have to bring the carbon of a Nasi. The fact that you're not bringing the carbon, because again, in reality, Reb Shimon does paskin that you're potter, even though we have this svara that says you should be chayiv, right? The svara says that you should be chayiv as a nasi because he's finding out about it as a nasi. So we see that according to Reb Shimon, it's a special halacha over there. It's a special halacha that you need the chait and the yediya in the same time frame. And that's why you're going to be potter if they're split. If the avera happens in one category and the idea happens and the knowledge of it happens in a different category, that's not what the Torah says that you're going to be chayev. So therefore you have no choice, you're going to be potter. But we see that according to Reb Shimon, we see that it has nothing to do with the changing of the guf. It's not because the changing, in other words, Sheila's svara was the change. Right over there, it's because there's a din and yediyah. It's a special din and yediyah that if you find out about it in the wrong time, you're not going to be chayav a carbon. But it has nothing to do with the fact that it's not necessarily because every time you changed your guf, you would be you change your status. See, because here's something that's different. Think about it this way. According to Rav Shimon, because he changed, the end result is you get nothing. By us, let's think about our halacha over here. Our halacha is that if she didn't change, she would get skila. If she changed, we don't say you get nothing, we say you get chenek. You get a different punishment. Okay, so according to Shiloh, you would get a different punishment because we changed. So we see that it's not, we don't just say, if you were following Rav Shimon Svara, you would be Potter. If you follow, right? According to Rav Shimon Svara, you would be Potter because if everything had to happen in the same time frame, then if it's not happening in the same time frame, you don't fit into a category. That's the way Rav Shimon looks, if you want to oversimplify it. If you oversimplify Rav Shimon, what he's saying is, you have to pick. You're either in category A or you're in category B. The moment you have this overlap and you're straddling two sides, you get nothing. But we don't say that. We don't say that well, she did the Avera as a Naira, but now she's a Begeres, so she gets nothing. We don't say that. We say, you switch to a different halacha. So we see that according to Shiloh, it has to do with the Shtani Guf. And according to Rav Shimon, it has to do with Yediyos and Chait. It's a whole different thing. In any event, the point is that we see that Rav Shimon's Svara is not an indication, does not elucidate for us, does not clarify for us the halacha that we are trying to prove. We're trying to prove that when she changes her guf, it changes the halacha. Clearly that's not Rav Shimon's din, because Rav Shimon would not end up with a din that you're Patur Lagamri. Okay, so if so, we're left with the kasha. So what is pshat in our Mishnah, or in Shiloh? So the Gemara says, Amalei Rabbi Yochanan Tana Tana Tidain V'Skiloh Elchanami. So Rabbi Yochanan says, you're right. We are going to say that it really has nothing to do with the Shtani, that the fact that she became a Begeres makes a difference. If in fact the Avera happened as a Naira, and we know what the punishment for a Naira is, we're going to stick with that punishment, regardless of what happens afterwards. We're going to stick with that punishment. So now the Gemara says, one second. That's very nice that we're sticking with the punishment. Vamai. Naira ha'amurasa amurachmano. The Torah very specifically and very clearly says that we're giving this punishment for a girl who is a Naira that is engaged. But she has to be a Naira. Vaha bagerasi. And now, this girl is currently actually a Bagaris. So why does the halacha still apply? Your answer is a very nice answer, that you got over the problem that, okay, it's in two different categories. You say, don't worry about it, we just focus on one thing, we focus on the Avera. But Lamaisa, that's not what the Torah says. The Torah says that we have to be talking about an Ayur Marasa. So Amar Aviloy, Amar Kro, so Enachanami, we have a special drosh over here, because the Pasuk says, Ha Naira. It says that she, the Naira, and we darshan ha Naira shahoysa kvar. It's a special drush over here. You're right. Even though she is in a different category, and therefore theoretically she should get a different halacha. We should have a different halacha because she no longer is that Naira. The pasuk itself brings the Naira back into the parsha because it says ha Naira with an extra hey. Correct. Yeah, 100%. It's not even, you're right, it's not the extra hey, it's the extra whole word. The whole word is extra, because it says, we could have just said you take her out. We didn't have to say the Naira. We didn't have to say the word Naira. So the fact that, you're right, correct. I correct myself. The fact that it says the word Naira is to tell us that it applies that if the Avera happened while she was a Naira, regardless of when we are eventually carrying out the punishment, and even if, not only carrying out the punishment, but even if we only found out this information after she changed from being a Naira, that's already, the Torah still wants us to look at her as if she is a Naira. Okay. So, Amalei Rav Chanina l'Rav Eloy, Ihachi Milka Nami Lulki, Umeya Kesef Nami L'Shalim. If so, that the Pasuk of Hanairo is coming to tell us that we just look at when the Vera happened, and we don't look at anything that happened, you know, what happens in the future, and when this happens in the future is not relevant, then the husband's punishments should also stay the same, and we should focus the Avera, his Moitzi Shemra Avera happened again. It's a different case. Shilu's halacha was when Edom came. Moitzi Shemra is when the husband is complaining. But even so, the husband's case also has the word Naira. He should have to pay, even if now she turns into a Bigeris. Amar Lei, so Rav Chanina said this to Rav Eloi. So Amar Lei, so Rav Eloi said to him, Rachmana Nitzlon Mehai Daito. The Torah should save us from that faulty logic. So Adarava, so Rav Chanina says, Rachmana Nitzlon Mehai Daito Didach. The Torah should save us from what you have to think. Meaning, they both thought that the way they're looking at this is completely, completely off base. The time of might. So now, okay. So let's go. Let's assume that the halacha is the way we saw it, that it's true, even though we have a pasuk that says that the avera happened as a naira and she is viewed and punished as if she's a naira. When it comes to the husband in the parsha of Moitzi Shemra, now that she is no longer a naira, he no longer gets the punishments of he doesn't get the malchus or the mea kesef as a naira. So time of might. So why is that true? Why does the husband? Why does the status change for the husband? So Amar Rav Yitzchok Bar Aben, V'itaim Rav Yitzchok Bar Abba, Zu Maiseha Garmula, V'zeh Akima Svosov Garmuloi. Okay, because you have to look at what triggered that they're getting punishment. In her case, what triggered that she was getting punished is the Znus. And that znus, in fact, happened while she was a naira. So since it happened while she's a naira, so she's viewed as, and she's taken into consideration as if she's a naira all along. Doesn't matter what happens later. Whereas the husband, by the Moitzi Shemra case, when in fact did he do the avera? It could be that he's complaining about something that happened while she was a naira. But his avera happened when he complained. And that complaint happened when she's already a bageris. Because his complaint is talking about later when they get married and now she's a bageris. So now that the complaint happened when she's up to a different status, so anachanami, so he's dealing with a different girl. You have to look at when he triggered the avera that he did and the punishment that he deserves. So zu, as the Gemara says, zu maiseha garmula, she did her act, which is that she was the znos, because she's a naira zanai. And when she did it, she was still a naira, and therefore we punish her as if she's a naira. Vizeh akima svas of garmaloi, but the husband, it's what he said that's the problem. Amos komachayev, so when did he trigger the punishment? Ahishaita, it's that moment that he spoke. It's even though he's speaking about an earlier time, but it's the moment that he spoke. Vahishaita bageris have, and the moment that he spoke, she's already a bageris. So therefore, his punishment is no longer on a naira. Because even though he was speaking about a naira, but he wasn't speaking to a naira. She wasn't a naira anymore. She was a bageris at that point. And therefore, his punishment is going to view her as a bageris. His avera was against the naira. Even though he's talking about her his avera was against the bageris. Even though he's talking about her as a naira, but his avera was done to a girl who is in fact in actuality a bageris. And therefore the punishment of mea shekel and malchus is no longer punishable as a naira. Okay, so to further Tana Rabbanan, Naira Hamurasa Shazinsa, let's go back to the basics over here. That you have, she was a Naira that was engaged, that was Mazara Solklin Oisoi Apesach Besavio, so she gets punished with Skila, we know that already. But the punishment gets carried out at her father's doorway. Ein lo pesach beis av. Let's say her father doesn't have a house. So soiklin oisoi pesach shar ha'ir. Hahi. Then we do carry out the punishment in the father's city, at the gate of the father's city. But if most of the city is really, it's not a Jewish city, it's a Goyish city, then then we do it by Bezdin, which is, so to speak, the Jewish area. We don't use the city. The city, by definition, has to be a Jewish city. If it's not a Jewish city, then that's not considered the city, a type of city that the Torah is talking about. Similar type of concept. At the Omer, we say the same thing. Somebody who does Avodah Zarah, Soiklin Oisoi Al Shar Sha'ovad Boy. We punish the person who did the Avodah Zarah in the place, in the location that he did the Avera. He did the Avodah Zarah, that gate. So the gate of that door. But if again the city is not a Jewish city, so it's not the city that the Torah is talking about, then Soiklin Oisoi Al Pesach Bezdin, then we punish him by Beis Din. Okay, so we see that it only applies if it's considered a Jewish city. Minani mili, how do we know that that's true, that it depends on whether it's a Jewish city or not? The Tana Rabbanon, it says she'arecho, that you should bring it to the gate. Okay, this is talking about Avodah Zarah, this is talking about Tznus by an Iron Murasa Sharecha to your gate. Zeshar Sha'avad Boy. This is talking about Avodah Zarah. Okay, to be clear, Sharecha, this pasuk is talking about Avodah Zarah. And we say Zeshar Sha'avad Boy, the gate of the city where they did the Avera Avodah Zarah. Ata Imer Shar Sha'avad Boy. Oyena El Shar Sha'nidon Boy. Maybe they only caught them, you know, a year later in a different city. Maybe you should carry out the punishment in the city that Beis Din found them guilty. So we say no, because Nema Sha'arecha Lamato, it says Sha'arecha by again, this pasuk of Avodah Zarah. The Nema Sha'arecha Lamalo, and it says this pasuk also, it's a different pasuk, that it's actually just a few psukim earlier in the parasha. It says that if you find somebody who did an aver, you have to punish them. And it says the word sharecha. Ma sharecha amar lamala shar sha'ovad boy. So just like over there, it's very clear that it's talking about you bring it to the gate of the city where the person did the aveira. Af sharecha amar lamata shar sha'ovad boy. So too by Avodah Zarah also, we're going to punish them in the gate of the city where they did the aveira. Even though, again, by Avodah Zarah it doesn't say it so clearly. It's not so clear that it's not necessarily where they did the aveira, but it says the same word sharecha, and the pasuk later is talking sharecha is the city that they did the aveira. Dabar acher, another way to look at this is sharecha, your gate, and also not the gate of a city where they're goyim, because that's not your gate anymore. That's the goyim, belongs to the goyim. So therefore, if it's a city that belongs to goyim, that's why we don't. Again, that's why we don't punish on that shah. But the problem is, the Gemara says ha'sharecha ha'afikde. We already used this word sharecha for the other drasha that it's in the city where you did the aveiro. So it's not available to tell us the city of Yidin versus the city of goyim. So the Gemara says imkain lemakra shar. Shouldn't just use the word shar. My sharecha. Why does the Torah create the word sharecha? Shmamino tarti. Okay, so now we know it applies, it's teaching us two halachas. One is that, you punish him by the gate of the city that did the Aveiro, and also one is to tell us that it has to be a Jewish city. No problem. Ashkechon oivda Avodah Zarah. So that tells us specifically these halachas by Avodah Zarah, because remember we compared Avodah Zarah to a Naim Arasa. Naim Arasa Minolon. How do we know that this is also true, that if, for example, if it's not a Jewish city, we don't use the shahr of the city by Naira Murasa? So Amar Rav Avua. So the Rav Avua says, Gomer Pesach mi Pesach, umi Pesach mi Shar, v'shar mi Sha'arecha. So there's a few psukim that you have to put together, and Rashi says, actually interesting, that this is an asmachta. So it says so now you have to go through the various psukim in the Torah. It says by Naira Murasa, Pesach Beis Aviha. Okay, so we use the word Pesach. Then it says about the Mishkan, Mosach Pesach Shara Chatzar. Again, by the Mishkan, it uses the word Pesach, and it also uses the word Shar. So we see Pesach and Shar by the Mishkan go together. And then it says Shar by Avodah Zarah, and it says Misharecha by Avodah Zarah. So we see that Shar and Sharecha by Avodah Zarah are the same, and Pesach is the same as Shar, and by Nairu Murasa it says the word Pesach. So therefore we could take step, if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. So even though it doesn't say the word Sharecha by the Nairu Murasa, it says the word Pesach. So the word Sharecha connects. And by Sharecha of Avodah Zarah, it's only if it's a Jewish city. So too, by Naira Murasa also, it has to be a Jewish city. Okay, fine. Tana Rabbanan. So let's go back to the halacha that we said before, that if she's a bageres, then it doesn't apply to the husband. Tana Rabbanan. Moitzi Shemra, loike v'noisim me'asal. The regular case is, regular Moitzi Shemra, that's the halacha by Naira Murasa, for he gets Malkus, and he has to pay 100 shekel. Rav Yehuda Omer, Lukois, Loike Mikol Mokon. you always get malchus, regardless of how old. Even though, notwithstanding what we said before, that if she's a bageris, you don't get malchus. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says you always get malchus if he's moitzi shemra, and we'll see why in a moment. You always get malchus. Me'asela, it depends. Me'asela baal noisein. He pays the me'asela only if the husband actually ended up living with the wife. Loibal ain't a noisin. But if the husband was never actually consummated the marriage and was never with the wife, he just knows that she was mazana from beforehand and complains that she was mazana even before he lived with her, so then he doesn't have to. And of course, obviously he's lying, because we're not punishing him if he wasn't lying, but he only gets punished if he actually lived with her. What's the difference? Kamifli gave a plugta to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Rabbanan. They're arguing on this machlekes, as we'll see, between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan. V'achi kam ka'omer. What he means to say is like this: Hamoitzi shemra loike v'noisin me'asela. Again, same thing. Moitzi shemra. That's what we're talking about over here. The halach, the basic halacha, is that if it turns out that he's lying, it's a moitzi shemra. He has to get malchus and he pays me'asela. Ben baal ben shaloi baal. That is kirabonan. That's what the Rabbanan hold. The Rabbanan hold that it doesn't make a difference whether the husband was with her or not. If he starts a rumor about his wife, he will be punished in two ways. He will get malchus, and he will have to pay the mea shekel. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, so this is the machlekes. Rabbi Yehuda says, Lilkois loike mikom makot. You're always going to get malchus. And we'll see what type of malchus this is going to be, because it's going to be malchus mardis lemaisa. But you're always going to get malchus regardless of how old she is. Me'asela, or regardless of whether the husband was with her. The me'asela part, the paying the 100 sela, then it depends. Baal noisin. If he was with her, then he pays the $100. Loi baal ain't a noisin. If he was never with her, then he doesn't have to pay the me'asela. Fine. Then that's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and that would be consistent with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Shita, that it depends on whether or not the husband was with her. That's one way to learn it. In other words, we want to say that this machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama is the same machlekes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Ikda Amri, but another way to say this machlekes is like this. Kulu Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. We're really holding that it's all like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, which, by the way, till now was the one who said it makes a difference whether the husband married her or not. V'hachi ka'omar, but the way to read it is like this. Hamoitzi shemra loike v'noisin me'asel. Again, the basic halacha is by Nair Maroso, and this is talking about when he married her, that, and then he complains about her, and he's lying. He's going to get malchus, and he's also going to get the mea shekel. Vehu sheboal. But we have to add that. In other words, what all we said was that you pay. But then the Gemara adds a qualification according to the Tanakhama. Vehu sheboal. No, this is only talking about if they were together. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Luka is loike mikol mokin. That you get the malchus no matter what, meaning whether or not you were with the husband, whether they actually got married or not. But it sounds like, according to this, that he's only arguing about the malchus. He's not arguing about the mea shekel. He agrees that if they weren't together, if they were never bald, they never consummated the marriage, then anachanami, the husband will not have to, if they never consummated the marriage, the husband does not have to pay the 100 shekel. Now, so, fine. So that is, again, it's a slightly different version, but again, it's the same conclusion. The mea shekel only applies if the husband consummated the marriage with his wife and then complained. But if the husband was never with his wife, he just complained that she's not, you know, that she was mazana. If that was his complaint, how he knows, I'm not sure, but he knows. If that's his complaint, so according to the Tanakhama, you don't pay, you don't get malchus. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you get malchus. What's that? The Gemara's, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, you get malchus no matter what. So the Gemara's problem is with Rabbi Yehuda, Luka is loki mikol mokoyim. You're telling me that Rabbi Yehuda holds you get malchus no matter what, even if the husband wasn't even with her. He never was consummated the marriage. But Tanya, we have a brayser. Rabbi Yehuda Omer baal loike, loy baal ain't a loike. It's very clear. Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that if he was with her and then complains, he gets malchus. If he was never with her, he does not get malchus, because that's not the parsha that the Torah was talking about. He was never with her. So Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, So the Gemara answers. He says, "Loika makas mardos midrabbanon." We're talking about Enochanami. The reason why you're getting Malkus over here, if he was never boiled, has nothing to do with. It's not a lav in the Torah. It's not because of the din of Moitzi Shemra. It's makas mardos. We don't like what the guy did. So we try to discourage this type of behavior, and therefore you're going to get Malkus. Even if you're lying, even though you're not lying within the four corners of what the parsha was talking about, but you started a Mitzvah Shemra, so Mitzvah Shemra in this context is going to get Malkus Mardus. That is the way Rav Nachman says. So, in other words, Rav Yehuda's statement is correct that you're always going to get Malkus, but it's not the way we understood it originally. Originally, we understood you were getting Malkus because of the din Mitzvah Shemra, and now we're saying no, it's nothing to do with Mitzvah Shemra. It has to do with the fact that we don't like this behavior, Malkus Mardus. The Rabbanon just don't like this behavior, and you're going to get Malkus. Let's just finish now with one last line on the top of Mem Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara finishes Rav Papa Omar. So that was Rav Nachman's Teretz. So Rav Nachman's Teretz is it's Makas Mardus. It has nothing to do with the Parsha. I mean, obviously it's connected to the Parsha, but it's not because of the din in the Parsha of Moitzi Shemra. It's because Makas Mardus, the Rabbanon, don't want you doing this. Rav Papa Omar, my Baal Loika. Okay, my Baal. Excuse me, my Baal Loika. What do we mean by the words Baal? If there was a Bila, then you do Malkus. Diktani Hasam Mamain. Now, remember, let's go back for a second. What are we answering over here? We're answering a Kasha that we have a Brisa that Rabbi Yehuda says, again, just to quote the Brisa again on the bottom of Mem Beis, the quote was, Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Baal Loika, Loi Baal Eina Loika. That was what Rabbi Yehuda's statement was. So we said, well, that was a kasha. Because now all of a sudden, Rabbi Yehuda himself is admitting that it makes a difference when you were boil or not. So here, a papa's teretz is that the words baal, loike, we assumed that the words loike meant literally the way we normally translate it, that loike means malchus. And therefore it was a contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda, because now all of a sudden Rabbi Yehuda is admitting that if you weren't boil, you don't get malchus. Rabbi Papa says the word loike in that braisa doesn't mean Malkus. Baal, my Baal Loika, what do the words Baal Loika mean? The Tani Hosom that it said in that other Brisa is Mamon, is that you have to pay money. So now Rabbi Yehuda is completely consistent. Even Rabbi Yehuda admits that if the husband was never with her, that he doesn't have to pay the 100 shekel, the 100 selah. The only time you pay the 100 selah is if you consummated the marriage, like the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama do not argue on that point. And therefore, even though he says the words Baal Loike, so Loike is, we would naturally translate those words to mean Malkus, but Rav Papa is saying a Chiddush over here in this context, so that Rabbi Yehuda himself is not contradicting himself. The word Loike is really referring to the money part of it. The Malkus you're going to get. And that makes sense, because the Malkus that Rabbi Yehuda is talking about anyway, especially according to Rav Nachman's Teretz, is Malkus Mardus. It's not even the Malkus of the Parsha. It's a different type of Malkus. It's a Makas Mardus. So therefore, Rav Papa is saying that Rabbi Yehuda admits, that, or Rabbi Yehuda's statement is really talking about the money, and Enochanami, if you're not in the Parsha, you're not in the Parsha. But what comes out according to the Maskana of this Gemara, again, the Gemara is going to continue on this point, but what comes out at this point in the Maskana of the Gemara is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, once she's a Bager, if he was never with her, then for sure you don't get Malkus. Excuse me. For sure you don't pay the Meya Shekel, the Meya Selah. Everybody agrees to that. There's no Meya Selah. However, and everybody also agrees that if the husband was with her and then starts these rumors, everybody agrees. Also, you get all the punishments. You get Meya Selah, you get Malkus, that's for sure. If you weren't with if the husband makes the complaint even before he was with her, in other words, they had a chuppah, but he never actually consummated the marriage, that's where you have the machlekes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. According to the Chachamim, if he was never with her, that's not the Parsha. And therefore, you don't even get Malkus. Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, he wasn't with her. I agree you don't get the Meya Shekel, the Meya Selah, but you're still going to get Malkus. And according to Rav Nachman, you get the Malkus because of Malkus Mardus. According to Rav Papa, you could say, possibly, that according to Rav Papa, you're really getting real, well, that's what Rashi says, you get real Malkus. Okay, we'll stop over here.